Now the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome, everyone, to the Tuesday edition of the Three Martini Lunch, along with Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Jim, a very busy last 24 hours. We've got good, bad, and crazy martinis. But before we get to the politics of the last day or so, obviously our prayers are with those in Moore, Oklahoma, Oklahoma City, the surrounding areas, a lot of different people affected, displaced. The number of killed is fluctuating wildly. It's actually been revised down just a little bit before we started recording here late Tuesday morning Eastern time. And this isn't thoroughly uncommon in that part of the country. But every time we see it, whether it's Joplin, Oklahoma City more than a decade ago, or any of these areas that just gets devastated, our prayers are with the people in those regions. And we hope that relief is being run efficiently. So far, it seems that it is. And we just hope that people can put the pieces back together as best as possible. But if they've lost loved ones, obviously, that'll never fully happen. So while it's not one of the martinis today, it's certainly first and foremost on our minds and hearts today. Let's move on to the first martini now, Jim. And let's go to a Washington Post ABC News poll released Tuesday. This is good news in terms of how Americans view the IRS scandal. 56% said the IRS use of higher scrutiny on Tea Party groups seeking tax-exempt status was a deliberate move, with 31% calling it an administrative mistake. 74% said it was wrong, regardless of why it happened. 20% said they were appropriate. 51% said they believe those actions were illegal, to 44% who said they were inappropriate but not against the law. Perhaps the toughest part here, though, 45% say the administration is trying to cover up facts, with 42% saying the White House has honestly disclosed what they know. So obviously we're very early in the investigation, so we'll see if those numbers change. But the American people are very upset about this, and we'll see how determined they are to get answers to all this, Jim.
Greg, I think we would have liked to have seen, you know, an overwhelming reaction of probably the worst suspicions being broadly shared by the American public in this poll. And it shows that for now, Americans aren't sure if this goes all the way up to the president, but at least, you know, the vast majority of them, 70-some percent, do have the ability to recognize that the IRS should not be treating Americans differently based upon their political beliefs. And I would like to tell the 11% who said they strongly favor the IRS treating the Tea Parties differently and with greater scrutiny, to stick it where the sun don't shine, since apparently there are some Americans who believe the IRS should be used as a partisan cudgel. The American people recognize something very bad happened here. And I think what we're seeing here is that they right now the administration excuse of, oh, we didn't know, we were out of the loop, we had no idea this was going on, that for now a good portion of Americans are willing to give the president the benefit of the doubt on this. Obviously, we're just beginning the investigation. We're just beginning an examination of this. Also, in this kind of interesting, was how much a majority said the Obama administration was trying to cover up important details about Benghazi. So that has not become this, you know, the Democrat line has said, oh, it's the silly distraction and waste of time. As I understand it, Howard Dean is even saying that it is literally, it's a laughable joke, was his term for the Benghazi issue. Thankfully, it looks like the American people don't share this. I'd like to see these numbers come up higher and a more solid examination of this issue, and a sense that, you know, that this, there is no reasonable, innocent explanation for the administration's actions in these two matters. But if nothing else, at least there is a recognition that there's a great odor coming from the administration's actions. And now the question is just how many people are involved and what the consequences are going to be.
On to martini number two now, and on to a scandal that we haven't talked about in a while, just because we've had so many other scandals to talk about, and that is Fast and Furious. This from Breitbart.com. Quote, the Department of Justice Inspector General published a new report Monday that confirms former U.S. Attorney for Arizona Dennis Burke leaked a document intended to smear Operation Fast and Furious scandal whistleblower John Dodson. The DOJ Inspector General said it found Burke's conduct in disclosing the Dodson memorandum to be inappropriate for a department employee and wholly befitting a U.S. attorney. Jim, this is a scandal that has flared up from time to time. Every time there's a hearing, Eric Holder held in contempt of Congress last year as a result of all this. And now it turns out that the administration, once again, at least at some level, being willing to do whatever is necessary to protect its own backside and smear the whistleblower. We saw it to some degree with Greg Hicks in the Benghazi hearings, and now we're going back in time here to go after John Dodson.
What makes this interesting is how it now begins to fit a pattern of behavior on the Obama administration. You talk about intimidating whistleblowers and trying to punish whistleblowers. You look at Greg Hicks on how he says he was effectively demoted after questioning what the administration was saying on Benghazi. This is a State Department official. This is I also remember Hillary's chief of staff telling him not to speak to members of Congress without a State Department lawyer present. And then when he didn't follow her instructions, he said he got a rather critical phone call from her. You also look at this, the explanation that Holder gave in this matter of, look, I didn't know anything about Fast and Furious until I read about it in the press. It's pretty much the exact same explanation that the Obama administration is giving for the IRS abuses and all kinds of DOJ abuses right now. In the Inspector General's report on Fast and Furious, you'll recall that basically information got to the Deputy Attorney General, to Eric Holder's chief of staff, to his personal staff in the office of the Attorney General, but somehow it never got to Eric Holder. And it's like you're holding up a piece of paper to him, and for some reason his eyes never latch onto the words on the memo. It's very mysterious. And the Inspector General, without coming out and saying, well, everybody here is lying, did note how surprising and unorthodox and not in keeping with policy, and how there really wasn't any good, reasonable explanation as to why these people didn't tell Eric Holder. Now, we're, I'm sure if we asked, what did Eric Holder know about this U.S. attorney punishing a whistleblower here? I'm sure he didn't know about that either. You put it with the James Rosen thing and the idea of, the Department of Justice was okay with going into his emails to see if he was involved with leaking and, treating him as a conspirator. So they didn't need to notify him any of that stuff. This is now a pattern of abuses. The government, the Obama administration, which, oh, by the way, celebrated every whistleblower during the Bush years and believed how important it was that people exposed the malicious wrongdoing in the previous administration. Well, now all of a sudden whistleblowers are fair game. And it's okay to seize the phone records of the Associated Press and all that thing. So it's one of those things where these stories look very different now that we can say, look, the administration has basically blown up any claim to the benefit of the doubt in these circumstances. And this is not one bad person here or another bad person there. This is a culture of unaccountability and a culture of really thuggishness at the Department of Justice and spreading out to the IRS and Environmental Protection Agency and all kinds of portions of this government. I'm glad the Inspector General's report pointed this out. I just wish there'd be some sort of consequence to this, and it's not really clear there'll be any serious consequence to this.
On to Martini number three now, Jim, and we mentioned the horrific tornadoes in Oklahoma at the outset, and in moments like this, you hate to enter into politics, but unfortunately, when others do it, you have to note it, and that is the case of Rhode Island Democratic Senator Sheldon Whitehouse. I'm not even sure the tornado wasn't still on the ground when he made these comments on the Senate floor about how this is global warming and the Republicans are to blame that this keeps happening to some extent because they refuse to acknowledge its existence.
Why do you, Sheldon Whitehouse, Democrat of Rhode Island, care if we Republicans run off the climate cliff like a bunch of proverbial lemmings and disgrace ourselves? I'll tell you why. We're stuck in this together. We are stuck in this together. When cyclones tear up Oklahoma and hurricanes swamp Alabama and wildfires scorch Texas, you come to us, the rest of the country, for billions of dollars to recover.
Jim, it's bad enough when folks use that in the abstract, but when the first responders are barely on the scene trying to save lives in the debris, that's pretty low.
I'd really like Senator Whitehouse to point me to the piece of legislation that could have prevented the tornadoes. Would passing the Kyoto Treaty way back when have ended up not causing tornadoes to occur? The first question is global warming going on or climate change going on? And the next question is it man-made? And then the next question is there any particular policy change we can make that will mitigate that? And the statistic I'm most fond of pointing to is that if the United States of America ceased to exist tomorrow, every last one of us zapped off the planet and we stopped emitting any carbon, China alone would make up that difference within 10 years, meaning that there really is no way to stop carbon production from human beings short of really mass genocide. You need to kill lots and lots of people in order to stop them from producing carbon. So the question is, what do we want to do about it? And, the entire environmental perspective on this is fairly unrealistic, fairly ridiculous. And as I've kind of contended for a long time, most people who talk about global warming in this manner basically are doing it as a form of moral preening. Now, look at me and how much I care about the Earth. Look at how terrible you and those other people are for not caring as much as I do. For White House to do this as people are rushing to dig children out of collapsed schools, kind of reveals a little bit about who he is and how he sees the world, the ghoulishness that exists there where a soul ought to be. But that's, you know, what our partisan politics seems to be trending towards, that when something terrible happens, we need reassurance that somehow by passing the right laws, by somehow taking the right actions, we can escape tragedy. We can escape terrible things from happening. And we look at, you know, Boston, we look at Newtown. You know, life provides, the tsunami in the Indian Ocean years, a couple of years back. I mean, terrible things happen in this life. And you can characterize them as acts of God. You can characterize them as acts of nature. You know, we all kind of grapple with why do innocent people suffer when things like this happen? Well, one way that people try to come about with this, and we are now getting into, you know, not, it sounds like politics, but it really operates on a religious level, that it is some sort of malevolent force out there that's doing this. And instead of attributing it to Satan or the devil or you know, evils out in the world, it's the evils of the other party, that somehow if the other party hadn't done something, we'd be in much better shape and these terrible things wouldn't happen. A couple of centuries ago, this is what caused people to toss virgins into volcanoes. The idea that if we just, you know, appease, you know, if we do the right things, terrible things won't happen. Well, you know, obviously volcanoes erupt for reasons completely separate to whether the local tribe has sacrificed virgins to them. So when we look at White House, there should be a certain amount of denunciation, but there's also, I feel a little bit of pity to the man, that when something terrible happens, the very first instinct that runs through his head, instead of, oh my God, this is so terrible, how can I help these people, is how can I use this? I wrote a National Review column a little while back about the slogan, never waste a crisis. Well, this is that mentality in action. Most people look at that and say, oh my goodness, this town has been wiped out. God knows how many people have been killed. What can we do? How can I help, you know, text the Red Cross? How can I do these sorts of things? And Sheldon Whitehouse's first thought is, man, I can really get those Republicans on this. There are a lot of things to be thankful for in the aftermath of a tragedy. But maybe we also be thankful that we didn't turn into Sheldon Whitehouse and that we're not so twisted and upside down in our morality that our first instinct when we see some sort of horrible thing happening is, how can I capitalize on it? How can I help my side? How can I benefit from this horrible thing that just happened to people halfway across the country? So, you know, Sheldon Whitehouse deserves to be announced, but also he kind of deserves to be just kind of dismissed from I think healthy public debate. I don't think, you know, healthy people automatically react to every single occurrence as a sign that this is a, you know, that there are political opponents at the root of all evil. So that concludes my rant for the day, Greg.
Sad and shameful, to say the least. Jim, have a good day. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
All right. See you tomorrow, Greg.
Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Please join us again on Wednesday for the next 3 Martini Lunch.